Coming up on today's episode of the Matt Downey Podcast, we got a lot of talk. We open things off with a little bit of Celtics talk. Danny Ainge out, Brad Stevens replacing him. Then we move on to a little bit of speculation of who potential candidates could be for the new head coach to replace Brad Stevens. Then we move on to a little bit of trade speculation with Kemba Walker and Kristaps Porzingis and what's going on there. Celtics Nation is all hot about that, so we're going to talk about that. Then we move on to the actual NBA playoffs. First things first, we want to congratulate Nikola Jokic on being MVP. Well-deserved. Then I give you my series predictions for each series, who's going to win what. Then we move on to first-round superlatives, where I give you you know, my thoughts on the NBA's first round and, you know, what was good and what wasn't. And then we end things with a little bit of Patriots talk, obviously. Today's episode is also brought to you by TheGrapevineMedia.com, www.TheGrapevineMedia.com. Make sure you guys head over there, subscribe to the email listing so you never miss a blog post. And make sure to check out the latest merch. We got more stuff coming in next week. YouTube, you'll be able to see it. Go subscribe on the YouTube channel and subscribe wherever you listen to this on your podcast. All right, let's do it. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Matt Downey Podcast. We are back, episode 76. It's the morning again. We're doing the morning thing, you know, fresh mind. No coffee today, so we're just gonna kind of roll with it and see how it goes. We got a lot to talk about here, so let's just dive right in. Celtics situation, of course. The biggest Celtics news, probably of the offseason, happened the day I released last episode's with Dalton, which was by far a great episode. Shout out, Dalton. Thanks for coming on. But, yeah, you know, Danny Ainge out. Brad Stevens is now the president of basketball operations. I'm pretty sure that's it. Now the president of basketball operations. First things first, I don't hate the move. I think it was time for a shakeup. I know everyone's been calling, you know, all fans have been calling for either Brad to be gone, Brad to be fired, Danny to be gone. And I think I've been very vocal about this since the beginning of the season. I think that this past year, the failures for this team more so fall on Danny Ainge than they do on Brad Stevens. I think that that's just it's hard to look at that team going into last year and say that that team got better. They lost Hayward, they lost Wanamaker, they lost someone else I'm forgetting. They lost Cantor. They lost throughout the year. They lost Tice. So, and they really only got Fournier, Tristan Thompson, and Jeff Teague, who didn't last the year. So they really didn't do much in terms of getting better, and that's on Danny Ainge's part. They also didn't get better through the draft. You know, I think that that's been another issue of Danny Ainge's, is he really doesn't like to get rid of draft picks, like, at all. He likes to use all his draft picks. So that's another fault I got to put on Danny. But, you know, you can't fault Danny for everything. You know, what he's done in the past, how many years are we now? I don't know. The last 5 years, almost 6 years, almost 6 years is incredible. You know, he's kept the team. I'll give Danny Ainge's. He has kept the team competitive and probably one of the most consistent teams over the last 10 years, minus 1 or 2 years when they got rid, like, after the last year they had Rondo, and then, like, maybe the year after. But, like, other than that, Danny Ainge has done a very good job long term with the Celtics. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if we want to go back, like, the past 20 years, he's won a championship. He pulled off the Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen situation. Then he pulled off the trade with Brooklyn. You know, he's done a lot of very good things. And I think the main thing that everyone needs to keep in mind is that he's kept this team competitive. So, you know, you can't fault Danny Ainge for, you know, sticking to his old ways. But we're seeing now the repercussions of his old ways not working. You know, we have how many new rookies and how many of them are turning out and panning out to be, you know, actual NBA players, and how many are kind of fizzling out and not turning out to be anything. So it was definitely time for a shakeup. I don't believe Danny Ainge is done either. You know, I bet you he goes somewhere else and becomes the GM or the president of another team. maybe not this year, maybe he takes a year off, maybe like next year or something like that. But I don't think we've seen the end of Danny Ainge by any stretch of the means. Brad Stevens now in as just pretty much replacing Danny Ainge. It's, you know, I texted a lot of people about this, you know, and I've had a lot of conversations about this situation. It's hard for me to see Brad Stevens other than a basketball coach, you know what I mean? Like, we've never seen him in a front office position. We've never really seen him in any other position other than coaching, even back to Butler and now with the Celtics. You know, it just doesn't really – it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I think he's going to have more failures this year than actual – successes. You know, I think that this is a it's vastly different from being a coach, and I understand he knows what goes on in that locker room and he knows the players in that locker room, but I think being a front office worker, being a president, being GM, whatever you want to call his position, he has to make tough decisions. And I feel like as a coach, you obviously he makes tough decisions as a coach, but it's different, you know what I mean? You're deciding guys' fates, you're deciding, you know, their family situation. Like, what happens in-game doesn't, you know, necessarily have to do with a player's, you know, like, financial situation, their being able to live, you know, things like that. And I think that this is a role that it takes time, you know what I mean? It's definitely a tough role because it's a tender role, I'll put it like that. Huh. No, but, like, it's situations where, like, you have to let guys go. You have to trade guys, you know. They have to move. You have to tell them you have to move your family again for the fourth time in, like, 2 years. You know, things like that are definitely tough. And I don't know. I feel like Brad just is not that kind of guy. But I understand you can't lose the Brad Stevens mind. You know, I mean, Brad Stevens is arguably, like, one of the best and youngest minds in the NBA right now. So it's like you can't just get rid of him. Should he just have been kept as the head coach? Maybe. Should he have been fired? I don't – I'm of the belief that he shouldn't have been fired, so it's tough for me to say – it's tough for even me to, like, rationale with the fact that he should be fired. But I don't know. You know, I think this year for the Celtics is going to be interesting. And it's going to – the first move that Brad makes, which I'm going to get into right here, is the – he has to find a replacement for himself. And that is going to be in itself a very what's the word I'm looking for here? A very it's gonna set the tone for what's to come in Brad Stevens' GM position here. I guess that's what I'm going for. You know, there's a list of candidates. There's so many different, like, lists too by a bunch of Celtics people and things like that. I don't even know what to believe on. I looked at a list yesterday and it was like 45 people that could potentially be the Celtics head coach. It's like, okay. I mean, you're just, like, spraying and praying with every single name out there, hoping that one of them sticks when Brad Stevens actually hires somebody. So I'm going to go with the top 11 people that I think actually might have a chance. And even then, I don't know. I'm going to take off this one article that, like, was written. And even then, I'm still a little, like, skeptical. But starting off with the first candidate, and obviously this is probably for most Celtics fans, they probably think that this is probably the guy. If the Celtics were to hire internally like they've done, which I don't think they're going to. I think they're, you know, I watched the Brad Stevens press conference last week, and Brad was pretty much like, we need a new set of eyes. We need something new and fresh in this organization. So I doubt they hire internally. But if they were to hire internally, I think everyone can agree that Jay Larinaga would probably be the top candidate. He's been the assistant coach for the Celtics for the last, God, I don't even know how many years here. I want to say since Brad's been there. I think, yeah, he has been. Charlotte had both Larinaga and the San Antonio assistant James Barrett. I don't know. Okay. Well, he's been since 2018. But no, that's not true. He was definitely there before 2018. Oh, he almost took a head coaching position in 2018. So there, all right, there's the proof in the pudding. He should, by far, he's the most qualified candidate internally to be the Celtics head coach. So I wouldn't be shocked if, but this is the thing. I don't think they're going to hire internally. So I don't think that these two candidates really matter. But second candidate is assistant coach Jerome Allen. Shout out Jerome Allen. I actually was recruited by Jerome Allen when he was at Penn. My brother Jackson was recruited to Jerome Allen, or recruited by Jerome Allen to the University of Pennsylvania. Jerome Allen was a let's put it like this, he was an absolute monster in college, and he was a great coach at UPenn. So him and Larry Nagy are probably the top two candidates with the Celtics if they were to hire internally. Again, I don't really think they're going to hire internally, but I guess you never know. The benefits to hiring both of those guys are, one, that they're very familiar with all the players. One would argue that Jerome Allen's a little bit more well-versed within the NBA community. I think that if you're trying to get players to come here and you were trying to hire internally, I think Jerome Allen, and I'm not just saying this because I know Jerome, but I think he has a better appeal to attract players versus Larry Nagy. That's just me. You know, I think he's very close with a lot of the players, which is would help land them in Boston. So I don't know. Larry Nagy is probably a smarter coach, but I think NBA is a lot about it's turning into, and you know, we saw this with Brad, and I think this is why Brad was kind of, you know, forced out of his position, was this team in particular, the Celtics team, is becoming more player heavy than coach. You know, I mean, they don't need the strong coaching aspect of Brad Stevens anymore. So I think if they were to hire internally, I think personally Jerome Allen would be the smarter choice. I think Jerome Allen would let the team play. I think he'd let Tatum take over, and I think he'd let Brown take over. I think if Larry Nagy were to get the job, I think it'd be less of what we saw with Brad Stevens, but that similar style. So I don't know. That's just my two thoughts. Again, I have no – I don't even think they're going to hire internally, but if they were. Top external candidates, I think it's all pretty obvious. Sam Cassell is by far the most qualified external candidate that they should hire. It's not even a question. Former champion with Boston. You know, he's been an assistant coach for Doc Rivers since Doc Rivers was in Boston. So how many years that's been. He's by far the most qualified candidate. He is also, he was on the winningest team, even though we hate to admit that, in the 76ers, so he's by far the most qualified out of all these guys. Another name that's been thrown around and is interesting to me because I looked at his record and stuff like that, and I'm like, this is like, I don't understand why he's a top guy, but then I found out the connection he has with Brad Stevens, and that is Lloyd Pierce, who had a rough, he had a rough stint with the Atlanta Hawks. He wasn't really that good, and he was fired, and then Stevens, like, on March 2nd, he was fired, and then Stevens praised him in a pregame interview before the Atlanta Hawks. So I think that that's a lot of the reason why people think he's like a top candidate, when in reality, I really don't think he's that much of a candidate. But I don't know. It's hard for me to say because this is Brad Stevens' first move, and it could just be like way out there. So again, it wouldn't shock me if Lloyd Pierce. You know, he's great with the players and things like that. So wouldn't shock me. But I don't know. It's probably picking that up. We should probably move that because it's probably getting me sliding and stuff like that. Next, where are we on? These two candidates are actually all right, never mind, we'll get to them. Chauncey Billups. Los Angeles Clippers assistant right now. I don't know. I feel like the handing a player a head coaching position just because they were a great player is beneficial and not beneficial. I think, you know, in terms of Steve Nash's situation was a little bit different in the sense that, you know, is he really the coach of that team? Like, he's labeled head coach, but, I mean, what is he, like, he's, like, I don't know. And I think this wouldn't be that situation. You know, I just don't think Chauncey Billups could get control of that team. I don't think he's deserved the amount of respect as a coach. He definitely has as a player, but as a coach, I feel like he hasn't deserved that respect yet of players like Sam Cassell has. You know, Sam Cassell's been an assistant for God knows how long. You know, he has the credentials to actually be a coach, whereas Chauncey Billups, I think he's been an assistant now for 1 or 2 years. No, he's only been there for 1 year, so I just feel like he doesn't have the respect yet. So I'm not there on Chauncey Billups. And then we have I actually think that it's tough because this person fits the same mold as kind of Brad Stevens and Larinaga is Becky Hammond, who, honest to God, is probably one of the best young and up-and-coming coaches and probably the most qualified. But one thing's for certain, I don't think she wants to leave San Antonio. And two, I don't think her play style, her coaching style would really fit the players. In terms that, like, she would be very hands-on and, like, not really, let the players be them, which is really what I think the Celtics need, you know? And again, she'd be similar to Stevens and Jay Larinaga. So, last guy, Jason Kidd. I don't know how I feel about Jason Kidd, honestly. I know he was the current Lakers assistant. I know he pulled out of the Portland Trailblazers job. And I think that he's an actual candidate that the Celtics will probably take seriously. I don't know if he's the right guy. He could be, you know. I don't know. I just feel like I remember his last coaching stint, and it wasn't that great. And now the Bucks are really, really good. So it's like, what? But, like, the Bucks are young at the time. So I don't know. It's an interesting situation. There's a lot of good candidates out there. There's some that I think are being pushed in the media on Celtics fans that, like, really, they're good candidates. They're a good potential coach, but I don't think they're the right fit for the Celtics. And I think that after watching that interview last Wednesday from Stevens, he made it very clear that there needs to be a new fresh set of eyes. There needs to be a new fresh set of thinking going on in the Celtics organization. And I really don't think that he's going to bring in someone that is, you know, similar to his style, you know, the way he does it. I think he really is trying to go out there and switch things up for this team and do a lot of stuff different in this upcoming season that didn't work this year. So I would hang your hat on – not hang your hat, but I will leave you with, I think that the whoever it's going to be is going to be something and someone that is completely different from what we've seen with Brad Stevens. I really don't think he's going to go out there and he's going to get somebody who's like a mini him. You know, it wouldn't. If he does, it would be a tough move for the Celtics. So, all right, last piece of Celtics news here, because it's getting a lot of controversy, and I've seen it all over the internet, and I decided to write on it. Tuesday, and it's getting a lot of attention. Let's put it like that. So, there's in the NBA, and this probably happens with every team, but specifically with the Celtics, it happens a lot. Is these trade scenario things where pretty much you can go on like this website. Yeah, I already forget what it's called. And you can mock up trades from team to team and act like you're the GM and make trades for players. And you can do like 5-team trades. You can do like one player for one player. And there's been one that has really caught fire within Celtics Nation, and it is Kemba Walker for Porzingis. And again, right before I did this, I just saw that the Celtics had the best odds of landing Porzingis if he were to be traded. Now, I'm just going to go through really quickly and read some of the comments on the article that we wrote. And we'll discuss it after. So first comment, dude gets injured every game. Next, take it now. Sold. Why trade one injury prone to another? Duh, would love it. Will it happen? Eh. If Dallas takes more than half of Kemba's contract, maybe. 7 feet and slight with incidental rebounds. Disturbing if he shoots three-pointers and never posts up. Okay. Kemba has 2 years left. Porzingis has 3 years left. Dallas may have to throw in something else. Yes, get more length. Someone wrote a comment that's not in English, so we're going to move on from that one. Someone said, screw Porzingis. Kemba, F-A, John Wall. Yeah, not four, just F-A. Someone said, the Celtics don't think like us common folk. That speculation isn't fact. Okay. That was kind of seemed like a direct shot at me, but, you know. Hold on here. And... yeah, Boston needs a big man like Porzingis. No-brainer, but will they take it ever? No. No, injury-prone in attitude slash fit and personality liability. Could not play second banana in Dallas. Won't accept a role player status here. Pay attention. I'm sorry, but that guy's falling off one injury after another. We already had some of that medicine with Hayward and with Kemba, and it was more than enough. So there's like hundreds of these comments. So that is the dilemma here, is that a lot of people think that this is actually a possibility. I want to go on record and say, and I'm going to stand by this take, it is 100% not a possibility. There are so many things wrong with this trade. And I think that a lot of this has to do with the fact that, well, one, with this trade website thing, it's like the 2K effect. You know, if you guys have ever played 2K, and you know you go and you know you're doing a season and you know you're like in November and you're really trying to get your team to like really, or not November, that's pretty early. You're like in January and you're trying to get your team to be really good. You go to like you go to the menu, you go to like proposed trade, you go to like trade finder, and you pretty much just find any trade out there that like gets you a big star and you're like able to give up like your eighth and ninth man off the bench and keep your starting five and add, you know, like a star for like those eighth and ninth man and like a pick. And they believe that that's how fans believe that that's how easy it is to get a trade done in real life. And the newsflash here is that 2K is a video game, and it is a simulated video game where in reality there is so much more that goes into bringing a new player to a new city and getting rid of an old player. And now I'm not saying the Celtics shouldn't get rid of Kemba. I think that they 100% should move their contract. But I'm saying there's just way more that goes into an actual trade that I think a lot of people forget about, especially with this website. And you know, whatever it's called, the mock-up trade thing, it's kind of a joke because Kristaps Porzingis does not fit the mold of the Celtics at all. Would he be great? Would he be a great addition to the Celtics? In theory, yes, he would be. In reality, no. You know, I talk about it in the article. Kristaps Porzingis is upset because he is not being recognized enough as a star as is, and now you want to bring him to the Celtics where he would probably be third fiddle. and he's upset with not being second fiddle. And he would, no, he wouldn't probably, he would most definitely, at the highest, be third fiddle. So, one, big mistake there. Two, I don't think the Celtics really need his play style, honestly. You know, I think that they need a stronger presence inside. They need a stronger big man inside to, you know, and they have in Robert Williams. Robert Williams, I mean, I hate to say it, he's injury prone. So, you know, we have guys that can shoot. Would it be great? Do we need an actual shooter, though? Yes, we need an actual knockdown shooter. Is Porzingis a knockdown, stand in the corner shooter, move around the wing shooter? He shouldn't be, but, like, he kind of is, but he's just not that great at it. So, you know, there's just so many reasons why this trade wouldn't work that we sit here and it's not even really a possibility at the end of the day. It doesn't make sense. And on top of it, you're getting the staggering stat, you know, when I looked at this, I was writing the article, was that both players played in 43 games this year. And I think Kemba played in more games the season before than Porzingis did. Porzingis is more injury prone than Kemba is. And that's Celtics fans' biggest problem with Kemba, is that he's so freaking injury prone, he never stays healthy. So, you know. And lastly, why this trade wouldn't work. What the hell does Dallas want Kemba Walker for? What do they possibly need Kemba Walker for? Someone. They don't. They already have a primary ball handler whose strongest asset is being an offensive player. They do not need another one. And this trade does not benefit the Dallas Mavericks at all. There is nothing. There's no benefit to the Mavericks getting Kemba and giving up their best big man for Kemba Walker. So I think fans need to remember that, you know, the trade simulator, just because it matches up on paper, is not actually how it works in real life. And just because Kristaps Porzingis is a big name and he's upset doesn't mean that the Celtics should go after him. It doesn't make sense. There's just way more negatives in this scenario than there are positives. So from now on, when we throw out the trade speculations, let's keep it in mind. Let's keep in mind the Celtics needs, the fit of the player in the Celtics organization, in the system, before we just go throwing out there because someone's upset the Celtics should go get him. Like, I'm seeing the Celtics should go get Russell Westbrook. They should go get Dame Lillard. They should go get all these guys. Slow down, okay? You know? I know everyone wants to go get the big names. They want to do that, but in reality, that's just not how it works. So I know there's going to be more like this, and I know that it's kind of ludicrous that that Porzingis' top landing spot is with Boston, but I think that is only for the simple fact that if you wanted to exchange Walker and Porzingis, like I just said, it works on paper. But that is the only place it works, is on paper. The numbers match up. Both teams can do it. It doesn't match up with what the Dallas Mavericks are trying to do. It doesn't match up with what the Boston Celtics are trying to do. Both players don't fit. The only thing you would be doing is swapping two injury-prone players because their contracts are similar. That's all you would be doing. So I had to get that off my chest because it's causing a lot of stir here amongst Celtics Nation. If you want to check out the article, obviously it's on thegrapevinemedia.com. Head over there, check out the article. Like I said, it's getting a lot of it's a controversial article. Let's put it like that. All right, moving on here in the NBA. Playoffs are still going on, even though the Celtics are out of it. We are in the second round here. Last night, Nikola Jokic was named MVP. Yes, Nikola Jokic, the second round 41st draft pick, was named MVP, who didn't even get his moment shaking the... No, he didn't shake the commissioner's hand. Whoever the guy is now, we know who he is. No, instead they showed a Taco Bell taco commercial when he got drafted. So It's just crazy because the voting for the MVP was not even close. He won by a landslide, like 91 to like, I think the next closest was like eight maybe, or something like that. I don't know, but it wasn't even close. Jokic was clearly the MVP. He was by far the most valuable player this season, not even a question. He stayed healthy the entire season. And he's still in the playoffs. They're the second best team in the West, which is pretty good. And on top of it, he had his second fiddle player go out, and they're still competing in the playoffs. So, props to Nikola Jokic. He's the first center to be named MVP since Shaquille O'Neal, which is pretty impressive, especially in a guard-heavy league when the only thing big men are kind of going like extinct in the NBA. Seeing Jokic being an MVP is exciting because I'm a big fan of older school basketball, but by no stretch of the means is Jokic an old school player. I mean, the dude is by far he's by far like the best ball handling big, passing big there is in the NBA. He's a 7'3" point guard. And he's quick. He makes the right decisions. If a lot of people were upset with the Jokic MVP choice, you got to go watch his highlights. He's actually unstoppable. And I think it was without a question. He should have been the MVP. I also saw a lot of kind of like shade thrown towards Jokic by like big name analysts and things like that. Like I saw Colin Coward's top 10 players remaining in the playoffs, and Jokic was at like 7. The dude just got named MVP. How is he the 7th best player remaining in the playoffs? I don't know. I don't know. Jokic was by far the best player. That's all I know. And that just goes to show you that big name analysts are not always right. I'm not always right. I like to think I'm always right, but I'm not always right. So it's, take everything everyone says with a grain of salt, because that's a joke that the MVP is the 7th best player remaining in the NBA playoffs. That's just not true at all. You could make the argument that he's the number 1 best player or the number 2 or 3. But 7? That's a joke, Coward. Come on. So, moving on. NBA. Hold on, I just want to get I want to get this series. I want to get the series straight before I go in here. So, we're in round 2. Most games have already happened. Everyone's game 1 has already happened. We're moving on to game 3 in the Eastern Conference. But everyone's game 1 has already happened. We have the 76ers and the Hawks tied at 1 apiece. The Brooklyn Nets are up 2-0 on the Bucks. The Nuggets Suns are 1-0 Suns, and then the Jazz and the Clippers are 1-0 to the Jazz. So, my predictions for each series, I'm going to look at them here. I'm going to go Clippers in 6. And they're down one game right now. I think that they drop one in LA, and then they win next game. They drop the first one in LA, and then they win. And then win. All right, then Nuggets Jazz. This is going to be a great series because This is going to be a great series because this one's going to go 7 games. Calling it. This is going to be a 7 game series right here. Who wins it? I don't know, dude. The Nuggets. Morris on the Nuggets is like. He's very good, and Jokic is unstoppable. But, you know, you catch the Suns on it, they're going to – you catch the Suns on a wrong night, and they will torch you. So, I think I'll go seven. I'll go Suns in seven there. The 76ers, Atlanta Hawks, it's tied 1-1. So, this is my – like, I'm a big believer in the – you know, you have to defend your home court. If you drop games at your home court, like, you're screwed. And – the 76ers dropped the first game, but I think that because the 76ers were the best team in basketball, that it's okay. I'll go 76ers in six. I bet you Atlanta gets one, at least one, in Atlanta. If they get two in Atlanta, watch out. Watch out. That there's a potential there for an upset because, again, like I just said, if you catch the Suns on a bad night, they're tough. But if you catch Trae Young and John Collins on a bad night, they're unstoppable. There's literally they and if Joel Embiid isn't playing, watch out. And then we got Nets and Bucks. I'll give the Bucks like one game. It's just not even close, dude. I mean, the Nets are just so good. And, like, I hate it because the Celtics lost to them, but they're too good. There's, you know, unless the Bucks can turn it around and win both these games in Milwaukee, I don't see them having a chance. They need both these games in Milwaukee to even have a chance. They need to bring the series back to even have a chance. Because if Brooklyn leaves Milwaukee up 3-1, it is over. They're winning the next game. Not even a question. So, I'm going to go Nets in five. I think that the Bucks can get one in Milwaukee, and that's it. So, that's my series predictions. I want to talk about an article that is coming out today that I already wrote. We're going to spend a little bit of time on it because it's a little it's interesting. It's thought-provoking mainly. And it's Damian Lillard's situation here. Because I think and I hate to say it because I love I'm not a Damian Lillard stan here, but I'm definitely of the nature that Damian Lillard is I like his persona. I like the way he plays. And I'm a big fan of how loyal he is to Portland. You know, I think that aspect of the NBA is by far something that's been lost in the past 20 years. No one's loyal to anybody anymore. The guys just move around for the money, which is, again, it's respectable. You know, at the end of the day, you have to make your money. You know, if your team's not going to pay you, you have to move on. I get that, and I understand it. hold on here. We need a drink. But what is interesting, though, is that I think if Damian Lillard stays in Portland, he'll never win a championship. It's just that simple. And I think as much as Dame has preached that he wants to be in Portland over the past like few years, and he's always saying, you know, Portland's a spot, you know, he loves the city, loves the fans, it's his home. At the end of the day, we live in an NBA era where people ring chase. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily an awful thing, because, you know, it makes for great entertainment. You know, it makes for the three stars on one team going up against three stars on another. You know, it makes for great basketball and things like that. But it does suck because if Damian Lillard leaves Portland, that city, it's not good. And I would hate to see that happen because Damian Lillard is the last. He's the last Larry Bird. He's the last Magic Johnson. I'm not even going to say Michael Jordan because Jordan left. He's the last guy to like really do. He's the last Kobe. You know, he's the last guy to stay with a team his entire career. that we have, you know, at least right now, you know, there's a potential, you know, Donovan Mitchell, there's a potential Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, there's those things are potentials, but right now, he's the only guy over the last 10 years that has just stayed with his team that I can think of off the top of my head. And it would suck because he's literally doing everything to keep his team competitive. I want to pull up the article but I think he averaged like 35-10 in that series, and you know he by far had the best performance so far in the playoffs. In that double OT game, the Trailblazers, I think most GMs are forgetting this. You have to win with stars. And it's hard to get stars, but when you have a star in Damian Lillard, you have to go get another star. You have to go get someone else. Because Damian Lillard can only do so much. You know what I mean? And when the rest of the team doesn't show up, when there's no other scoring option, when CJ McCollum is putting up like 10 points, it just doesn't – you're not going to win. So – I hope that the Portland Trailblazers can go get another star so Damian Lillard doesn't have to leave. But if Damian Lillard has to go through another season of this, and they get a new head coach in there that is, and they don't make the playoffs next year, Damian Lillard could be on the outside. He could be out saying, F this, you know, I've given everything to this city and they're not doing enough to help me. I'm out. I could 100% see that happening. So, you know, it's just something to keep your eye on. It's also very important what Portland does and who they hire and who they bring in, because you have to bring in whoever the hell Damian Lillard wants, because he's by far the most important piece to that team. And if you lose him and he pulls a James Harden on you throughout the season, it's like, screw this, I'm not playing these games, get rid of me. I don't think you would do that, but you know, how much of your career can you waste not being respected by your team and not giving enough to help you win, you know? So it's just interesting to think about, because again, like I said, he's really the last guy that we've had stick with his team and really not want to leave his team, you know? And I understand that aspect of it, because, you know, when a team drafts you, they gave you the shot and things like that. But at the end of the day, the reality is, to win in the NBA, it's no one can do it alone. You can't win in the NBA alone. LeBron couldn't get out of the first round alone. That's just the reality of the situation. You need at least one other big name player to help you get out. And I don't know. I don't see it happening. I see if Portland doesn't do something soon, I bet you Dame Lillard wants out. That's my take on that whole situation. All right. Now, moving on, I want to talk about a little fun aspect here. I'm going to do it at the end of each round of the playoffs here. It's the NBA superlative, NBA playoff superlatives, actually. First round, best series by far was the Mavs and Clippers, the only one to go to 7 games. So I think without a doubt that takes the cake for the best series. The worst series, this one was a tough one. But I don't really think it was that tough. I think the worst series was the 76ers and the Washington Wizards. I think that it just wasn't fun to watch. You know, I mean, you knew the 76ers were going to win. Was it nice to see Washington get a game? Yeah, but like at the end of the day, everyone knew going into that series who was going to come out of it. 76ers. The most disappointing team, Miami Heat. Yeah, was not good for the Miami Heat. It was just not fun to watch that team really at all. What was their thing? They lost. Did they get swept? I think they got swept. Yeah, they got swept. Yeah, most disappointing series. I mean, team by far was the Miami Heat. They're going to have an interesting offseason. Keep an eye on them. Best player. This one was a tough one. I went Kevin Durant, but I know a lot of people will go Kawhi Leonard or maybe Luka or even Dame. But I went Kevin Durant because I think Kevin Durant consistently torched the Celtics. And personally, he hurt me. So I went Kevin Durant because he was full Slim Reaper mode against the Celtics, and still kind of is right now against the Bucks. So I went Kevin Durant. So I think he's been the best player in the playoffs so far. Best game was, like I already mentioned it, the Denver versus Portland game, the double OT with Dame at the 50. Biggest bust. This one was a tough one. I think the obvious choice here was Julius Randle. Amazing season, Julius Randle. Most improved, deserved it, but then didn't do anything in the playoffs. So I think that, you know, he just didn't show up. In most people's minds, that's a clear and obvious he should be the biggest bust. But I also threw in there Anthony Davis. If you're cleared to play in the NBA playoffs and you're in an elimination game, get on that goddamn floor, you bum. Simple fact of the matter. That's all I'm saying. So I think the clear and obvious choice for the biggest bust was Randle, but Anthony Davis is a close second. Okay. First round superlatives, there they are. Try to go through them quick. I might add another one in for the second round, things like that, but that's it. We're done with NBA talk. Well, now we just have like 5 minutes of Patriots talk, and then we're done. So, obviously, this past week, New England Patriots have not really done much. There's only been two big things in NFL news in general, but mainly surrounding the Patriots, as I'm looking at a tweet from Adam Schefter, retweeting somebody, of course. Julio Jones, obviously the Patriots didn't get him. Like I said, not really that shocked, honestly. Not like really that surprised that the Pats didn't get Jones. I don't think that he was he didn't fit. Oh, sorry, stretch. Like I said, 6 a.m. right now, so just gotta do that stretch. He didn't fit the Patriots scheme. And you know, I don't think Belichick was willing to throw out 3 picks for Jones. You know how Belichick feels about his draft picks. So, not really that disappointed. Honestly. And I think, and I wrote about this too. I'm just trying to remember all the key points in that article. One of the key points for Atlanta was, one, putting him in the AFC. Two, having a team that can take on its full contract, which is like $23 million. And three, getting or receiving enough compensation in return for Julio Jones. And I think the Patriots' best offer was rumored to be like a second-round draft pick and Sony Michel. And the next best offer was from the Las Vegas Raiders for like a second round and someone else. I forget the name attached to that. But it was similar to the Patriots offer. And then, you know, the Titans came out of nowhere and offered 3 picks. And, you know, what are you going to take 1 pick and a running back that's like had 1 good year out of his first 3 or 4? Or are you going to take 3 potential stars? You know, so I don't think it was really that hard of a choice for the Falcons in terms of, you know, getting the most that they could get. And I think that they kind of overvalued what Jones would go for. You know, I think that they said that they wouldn't accept anything less than a first round. And I don't think that they got any first round picks offered to them. I really don't. I think Jones is, you know, he's 32. You know, it's hard for a GM in the NFL to take on a 32-year-old wide receiver. That's just, you know, how long can you take him? You know, so how long is he going to be there for? You know, and I understand why Belichick didn't do it. It makes sense. So if Belichick didn't see it happening and he felt it wasn't necessary to give up more than, you know, the second round pick and Sony Michel, then I'm okay with that, because, you know, seeing what the Titans had to give up, three picks that could cost them for someone who doesn't even stay 2 years there. I'm all for it. So I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay with Belichick not going after Julio. And, you know, to Patriots Nation, I think everyone, you know, we do this time and time again where everyone wants the big-name star. You know, when there's a big-name player on the market, we should go after him and all this nonsense. But kind of like I was just said earlier in this podcast, it's got to fit the scheme of what the team's trying to do, you know. And I think, you know, it's not Madden. It's not 2K. You know what I mean? Like, fans, when they say these things – and they say the Patriots should go get Odell Beckham, and they should go get these guys. Some of their play styles don't fit, you know, the Patriots organization. You know, would Odell Beckham, who throws a temper tantrum like every few weeks, that he's healthy? One, and the dude's like never healthy, but when he is healthy, you know, I remember like at least 10 times in the Giants where he was just throwing a fit on the sideline. How many times did that happen with Belichick? You know what I mean? Belichick runs a tight ship. You know, everyone says it. So, I don't think Jones fit the scheme of what Belichick was trying to do, you know, how he's trying to rebuild his team and things like that. So, again, not really that disappointed that the Patriots didn't get him. And the last piece of information here is Cam's hand injury. Seeing it all over Instagram and all over Twitter. I don't even know like what to say about this, because it's not even a question. Cam Newton is going to be the starter week one. It is not going to be Jared Stidham. Jared Stidham has fallen on the depth chart. And Jared Stidham might not even be on the team come week one. So for people to say that he's still going to be a starter, that. Get it together, okay? You know? And for notable Patriot fans, that's the other thing too, you know? I understand you rock with the player until he's completely dead in the NFL. I get that. But I don't see Stidham being – and I don't know, I have nothing against Jarrett Stidham. I really don't. I just don't see him being a week one starter, especially because Cam Newton accidentally, he pulled a Brady and like hit his hand on the top of someone else's helmet. You know what I mean? Like, that's, and the season is not till September, and it is June, people. People. Okay, that's what I got for today's, for the Patriots news. In other news, again, I should have done this. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the like button, the subscribe button, means a lot. To me, and wherever you're listening to this on the podcast world, subscribe, obviously, so you don't miss an episode. Appreciate all you guys. Go ahead, check out thegravemedia.com. Blog articles there have been great. We're not just a sports. It's not just sports either. There's going to be a ton of other stuff coming here in the near future with Grapevine. So be on the lookout for that. You know, if you need some cooking recipes, you need you end up playing video games, all that stuff. There's going to be a whole bunch of different genres going on thegrapevinemedia.com, so be sure to check out that. And obviously, go get some merch. I have some new merch coming in this week. Some new shirts, new sweatshirts. Things are going to be trying out. We're going to be showing you. So be on the lookout for that. And with all that being said, I will see you guys next week. Peace. We'll be right back.